Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be multiplied then to each one of us this evening hour of grace. So we turn then to the word of the living God this evening. We'll turn then to the Psalms, and we'll read Psalm 121. Psalm 121, and we read these words then in the name of Him, the name of Jesus, the only name under heaven and earth by where man must be saved. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber, neither he that keepeth Israel. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Amen. And may the Heavenly Father add His blessing then to the reading, speaking, and hearing of His word. And I thought I would share with you even how this text became my text this evening, as Pastor Phil had asked me if I would be willing to serve, and was on my mind that where am I going to use for a text? And as we had that hot weather last week, and I was working on the roof, we were sheeting a roof, and it was so hot out that I had my back to the sun, that I have suspenders on my nail bags, and where the leather patches where the suspenders cross, it felt like the heat was boring into my back. And I picked up that piece of plywood, and as I turned and I had that plywood toward the sun, I was in the shade. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, what a blessed moment of shade. And then, as soon as I said that, then the fifth verse of this psalm came to my mind, that the Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. And then, as I went through the day, and I meditated upon that, and I went home that evening and read the psalm, and I felt like the psalmist says in the 45th psalm, that my heart was inditing on a good matter, that my heart began to overflow then with these promises of God's word, these sure promises that are for you and for me. And all then who by faith have partaken of God and what He has given for us. So then the psalmist says that I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And we know, as we happen to live in a beautiful area here, and we can look to the mountains and the hills, and we see the absolute majesty of God who created them, and how they endure and they last. But we know that even the mountains can change and be moved. That those of you who are my age and older, we remember so clearly when Mount St. Helens erupted and thousands of feet of it disappeared. And it's my own experience. We were coming home from Kellogg, Idaho. We were in Eastern Washington that Sunday afternoon, and the sky became darker than the darkest night. And we didn't know that the mountain erupted. We didn't know what was happening. And we wondered if maybe it was the end of the world or what, as darkness came from the west to the east, just the opposite, as the sun would normally go the other way, as the sun was disappearing behind us there. And I think my mother had quoted that place where it says that those who are not found trusting in Jesus' promises and the revelations, that they were call out to the hills and the mountains to fall upon them. And we stopped at a rest area, and my dad went and asked someone what was happening, and he came back and he told my mother that there's literally a mountain falling on us as the ash was coming down upon us just like snow. So we know that even these natural, beautiful things that God has created, that they can change. But you know, we must remember then that the very God then who holds the whole earth in the palm of his hand, that he has created all things. So it says, from whence cometh my help? So then that we look above and beyond this wonderful creation that we see. And then we look to him. It says that my help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. So then God, who made everything by speaking it into existence, and it was very good. And then God made the very crown of his creation, Adam, then as God took his own hands and formed him from the dust and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So then says that my help cometh from the Lord. So where do we find our help that cometh from the Lord? We find it then in the Word of God and the promises that are found therein. And so you think, even as this is in the Old Testament time that the psalmist wrote this, and they were trusting then in the promises of a Savior that was to come. So then all that they saw, the types and the shadows, all that pointed then to a Savior and a Redeemer. And as we already heard in the prayer, that there was this Lamb then that was slain from the foundation of the world. So already there by faith, that all day through the Old Testament then, they looked then to the Savior and the Redeemer. They were not able to see that so clearly as we are, as the time that we live in, where he has been here and done his redeeming work. But Isaiah, in the 63rd chapter, as he is speaking then of this one then who was to come. In the beginning there, he tells then of who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? So speaking then of the Savior that was to come and his redeeming work. But then if we go over then to the ninth verse there, that in all their affliction he was afflicted, and his presence and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them, and he carried them all the days of old. So then, this help that cometh then, even already then, in the whole Old Testament period then, that it came then, it says that the angel of his presence, that Jesus there by promise was there for them. And so then, our help then came down to us then from heaven, that the very Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Then in him we have, in Jesus, we have everything that we need. So then that God has sent his Son to earth, and that his help then came. So then that he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. That God keeps us then As we are his children, he keeps us then that our foot would not be moved, that we have such a firm foundation to stand on, that which is found again then in God's word, that every promise that is there, that it is true. God's word is perfect, it is infallible, and there we find everything that we need in God's word. And so sure then are these promises of God, that then by faith that we have become partakers of these things, and you know that we have then, as God's children, trusting in Jesus and what he has done for us, that then we have a treasure in our heart. And our very all in all then is found in him. You know, we are in such a firm place that the Apostle John tells us in his epistle that if our heart condemn us, that God is greater than our heart and he knoweth all things. And what does God see then in the child of God? Even if our heart condemns us, he sees then that hope and that treasure that we have that is found in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. So can we be thankful enough then to the Heavenly Father that he holds us in, that Jesus tells us himself that him and his Father, that they hold us there in their hand, and that no man can pluck us out. Is there a safer place where you want to be today? Is there anywhere else that you want to trust and to look for life and salvation? It says then that he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So then, that Almighty God, that he always is on the watch, and that we know that we often become tired and weary on the journey, but that God is always there watching out for us. And we deal with all kinds of things in this life. How many trials and tribulations that do we know? And even us who are gathered here this evening, that there are those of you here who have suffered things that those of us who have not been there, that we cannot even begin to understand. But that God is always there then to strengthen us and to help us, that he is always there, ready and awake, is there to lead us and to guide us. And you read a place like that, we cannot help but think then of the 40th chapter of Isaiah. You'll start with the 27th verse, that why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Then that we would wait then upon the Lord, then that he would strengthen us then. Because then that he, it says, is thy keeper. That he keepeth Israel, and he is thy keeper. So then, that collectively we know that God cares for his whole church. But he is thy keeper also. That when there is a shepherd, then he cares for the whole flock. But he cares then for each sheep individually. So then we look then to that great shepherd then, He then, who knows his sheep, and they hear him, and they follow his voice. And then says that the Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. And we think of the shade then, I think then of our shadow. So we walk then in the natural light that we cannot leave our shadow, that our shadow goes with us. And that is how close then the Lord is, that he is our keeper. And as I looked at this, it just seemed to me then that I saw the triune God, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That the Lord God then, who made heaven and earth, and the God then, who loved his creation so much, the crown of his creation, man who fell, that he gave that promise there already in the garden, that one was going to come, then who was going to wound the serpent's head, crush the serpent's head. So then, so we have already said that God sent his word, became flesh, and dwelt among us. We see then that God's very heart towards you and me, that he sent it to earth, that his son came here to put on flesh like you and me. And God gave him a name. That name is Jesus. That short name that means salvation of sinners. So then God sent his son here. He came here to save us. He did fulfilled all for us. Fulfilled the law in its completeness. Took the punishment that we deserved. Bore it there to the cross. Suffered and died for us there. So then that he became our high priest, our sacrifice, and in our very mercy seat then that we can flee to. And he ascended there into heaven, and he sits there on the Father's right hand interceding for us. But you know, Jesus, he did not leave us alone here, did he? Remember then as he was getting close then to saying farewell to his disciples then, that he told them then that the Holy Spirit was come, that this Comforter that would come, that would bring all things to remembrance that he had said. The Holy Spirit then that would dwell within them, and that would testify of him. Then that Holy Spirit then that dwells then in each child of God. I'm trying to remember exactly how in one of Rosanius' songs it says then, but he leads, guides, warns, and comforts as none other can. Then that the Holy Spirit is there leading us and guiding us then upon the way. And then as we have everything then that we need then through the triune God, then that God also then gives us the very means of grace then for his children then as they walk here then through this wilderness journey. That first and foremost then he gives us the word of God. That word of God then that points us ever to Jesus. The very sacraments then that were instituted by Jesus himself. The Lord's Supper then, where we partake of his body and blood. Then we are baptized there into that covenant of grace, that we are baptized in Christ. And even then, as Jesus was talking to the disciples behind the closed doors there, told them that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And then that he whose sins you remit, it would be remitted unto them. And he whose sins you retain, that they are retained. So then, this God then has given us these beautiful means of grace. And as we walk as his children, do we see then that we desperately need them all? That they're all for us? That never would we lift one up above the other, lift one up, push one down. But we would pray then that God, by his Spirit, that we would need them all, that we would want to partake of them. That God has given them then to strengthen us then on the journey. And that in those then are every of the comfort and grace that is in God's word then are in those means of grace. That in those things then that we have forgiveness of sins, that we are carried then on the journey every day. It says, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. As I'd already talked about the natural sun smiting me. But you know, we're all different. I know there's even people here, I know who I talk to, who just enjoy the hotter the day, the better. And if you were to ask me what was a perfect day, I would tell you a day where it was sunny, but I had to wear a flannel shirt all day. That would be just right. But you know, we think then that when Adam and Eve were there in the Garden of Eden, that it was just perfect there. You know, they didn't even have to wear clothes to keep warm. That's something that our broken carnal mind can hardly fathom. But you know, as we're all different, we struggle with different things, that the sun shall not smite thee. That you know, we all have our struggles and trials in this life. And those things that just burn within us. We're real people in a real world. We struggle with real things. Trials and tribulations of this life, that we struggle with temptations, we struggle with lust, we struggle with all these things. And our Heavenly Father sees that. And it is desire then that we would come unto him and look for help and for aid, that he would protect us, that they would not smite us. And then it says that the moon by night, and we know that the natural moon is, its light is just a reflection of the sun. But you know, often we have fears and anxieties, maybe even about things that we can't change. But you know, no matter what these things are that we struggle with, real things or things that we're worrying about that may or may not be, that the Heavenly Father then, that he wants to preserve us and keep us, that we would pray to him then for all help to guide and lead us. And the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, that he shall preserve thy soul. That can we trust in the Lord then to preserve us from evil. We pray in the Lord's Prayer then that deliver us from evil. That God can preserve us from all evil, that we have to find our strength and our hope in him. And we all struggle again then with different things. But you know, there is a place of refuge in. But you know, we get caught up and we struggle with these issues, whatever we have. And right away we try to, of our own strength and our own power, to overcome. But you know, then again, the Spirit, by God's word, points us back to where? That we have to flee then to Jesus and his redemptive work. That there is a place of strength and of power. There then that we can, God does the work, that God can overcome. That he shall preserve thy soul. That God cares most of all about our undying soul, that he preserves our soul, that he leads and guides us, and that his, the blood of his Son, that it flows yet today, that washing away all our sins. You know that God cares for us and tells us why, and does everything for us. Tells us why in the 8th chapter of Romans. The 32nd verse. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That this God then, who loved us so much, that he spared not his own Son, but sent him here to save you and me. If he has done that for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth. That God then has promised to care for us each and every day of our life. That he shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. That no matter where we are or where we go, that he who never slumbers or sleeps, that he who is our keeper, that he knows where we are, and he will preserve us then. And it says that even forevermore. You know, God has no greater desire then that he would protect us then, lead us all the way then to the end of our journey, that he would preserve us then from the youngest of us then to the very oldest. And we don't know how long the journey is for any of us. There's no promise of another moment, is there? And we have seen that so often lately, those who have been called home. But you know, trusting then in the merits of Jesus. You know, thinking about the mountains again, sometime in the last couple of years, I had a busy day at work, and then I had to leave the job and go meet someone, and I was kind of grumbling to myself, and it was kind of a cloudy, overcast day, but as I was driving there, I could see Mount St. Helens off in the distance, and the sun was shining on it, and it was glistening so white, the fresh coating of snow, and my heart started to rejoice because of what Jesus had done for me, that because of the righteousness then of another, that there is, by trusting in him, that there was a robe of righteousness that was put on someone just like me, that in the Father's eyes, that I was that white and glistening also. No, and as we stand then, when Jesus comes in to judge the earth, and we stand then before the judgment seat of Christ, and how great it is then that we will not have to stand then in our own merits, but we look then to that righteousness then of another. Isaiah says in the 32nd chapter then that the work of righteousness shall be peace. And when we have that righteousness of Jesus, is it not then that we find that we have true peace, peace that passeth all understanding in our hearts, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever? We have that quietness and assurance in our hearts. That will go with us all the way then to the end of our journey. And then, even as we stand before the bright-eyed judge, he who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that even there we will have that quietness and assurance in our heart. Because we are trusting in him then, that advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He who stands before him on his right hand in glorified human form. And God sees us through him. So then God preserves us evermore. And then by grace through faith, one day we will be there then in heaven above. And the word tells us then that there will be no natural son there. But the Lord and the Lamb, that Jesus, that they will be the light of it. And there we will see in its fullness, my brothers and sisters, that love goes all the way. That love that God had for the very foundation of the world. That love that has carried us every day, all the way through. There we will bask in the glory of that light of God's love to us. There these tongues of clay that we have will be unloosened, and we will thank and praise him as we ought. All glory and honor and power be then to our Heavenly Father. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you then that you are a faithful Father, and that you are faithful to do all that your word has promised. Grant us faith, Father, then to lay hold of these promises, that we could walk with them every day of our life, and lead us and guide us as we go about our natural way, our natural journey. Guide us then that we could walk in true love one towards another. That we would desire even and love to do your will, Father, all by the merits and the power of your Son. We thank you, Father, for all things. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.